Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Off and rolling. Wednesday, October 15, 2025 is the date. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. I saw some pretty good news today regarding the Grizzlies, or at least what could signal some good news to come. Jaren Jackson Jr. may be available to play tonight against the Hornets in the penultimate preseason game for the Grizzlies. How about that?
It's almost like all of the panic about preseason may have been for naught.
I hope he's ready to go.
Yeah.
But if he could play tonight and he could suit up tonight, I feel good about opening night at the very least against the Pelicans, which I saw the ticket prices. That's been going viral today.
Yeah. Why are people trying to act like that's a bad thing? Oh, no. I get to see an NBA team. Two NBA teams with superstar players.
For $6.
The sky is falling.
I know, but it's like it's a value thing, a value for the product and the franchise. That's how people view it, but I view it as a great thing.
We're always in a working-class city. Yeah.
And people can afford tickets. I don't see anything wrong with
a
that.
A Wednesday night, family's right. Going down. I don't mind
$6
it at all.
$6 to watch Ja versus Zion.
Seems pretty great to me. I remember during the G&G days, tickets were, wait for it, Gabe, $10.
So it's not
that big of a difference.
That's expensive.
We would go all the time in college. We would just be like, hey, you want to go to a game tonight? Tickets are $10.
For some of the folks that talk about downtown being like, unsafe.
Yeah, you better go. I might see your asses down there.
The National Guard's there, so you should feel safer, right? Theoretically. Right? It's, I don't know. Putting two and two together here.
Yeah.
All right, now we have an hour and a half of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM ESPN and yours truly, because we will pass you off to the Grizzlies on the road against the Hornets in Greensboro. They're playing in Greensboro. I don't know why they're not playing in Charlotte. Somebody could probably enlighten me on that, but they're playing where the Greensboro Gargoyles of the ECHL play and UNC Greensboro play. So it's a smaller arena, but hey, it is what it is. But we'll pass you off to that at 5:30. Eric Hastine will be on the call. But the show is as follows. We're going to have Colton Denning. We're going to move him up. Usually at 6 o'clock, he will be at 4:30. We'll talk about the James Franklin firing and the potential for a move from James Franklin to Matt Rhule, who's the sitting head coach in Nebraska right now. I want to go through some of the stats and basically make the case and see what Colton has to say about it, about James Franklin or Matt Rhule being James Franklin light. Very similar resumes in big games. And they are known, or were known, before this whole Penn State thing popped up, for being coaches that elevated not non-football schools. Baylor and Temple for Matt Rhule, and of course Vandy for James Franklin. So we'll talk about that. 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join the show. And of course, we're going to pass you off. I will get to my NFL power rankings, my post-week 6 NFL power rankings. We have a shakeup. I mean, it's all over the place right now. I put a team at 1, then they drop all the way out. That's just how it's been this year. And I will go ahead and let this be known. Bills didn't make it this week. Can't buy into them. Cannot buy into them. All right, now, without further ado, You know what we do on a Wednesday? We get to overreaction, not an overreaction. So hit it, Connor.
All right, Gabe. Florida head coach Billy Napier could be fired as soon as this weekend, per USA Today Sports. According to sources, Florida's athletic director, Scott Strickland, met with a handful of influential boosters on Tuesday and was told continuing financial support depends on a new direction within the football program. If Florida loses to Mississippi State, Napier shouldn't make it to the locker room without being fired. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
Can I just, I'm going to put this out there and I'll explain it, but overreaction. Not because I don't think he should be fired, but because I think you need to stop putting like these expectations and these things on him. If he wins this game, he can stay around for another week. Stop doing that. He's sitting there at 2-4. He lost the game that he should have won against South Florida at home in the Swamp. He lost two of the most important games of the year in LSU and Miami. LSU only accounted for 220 yards of offense in that game, but his quarterback that was supposed to be the savior of this program, the reason that he really kept his job after last year, DJ Lagway, he threw five picks in that LSU game. Then he followed that up with a 61-yard passing performance against Miami. So, like, the redeeming quality that kept Billy Napier around is showing to not really be a redeeming quality. Yeah, beat Texas, that's cool, but then they got hammered by A&M this past weekend. So, in the end of the day, just stop the charade. He's 2-4, and he is 1-2 in SEC play so far this year. Just fire him if you're going to fire him. We're two votes of confidence into this thing from Scott Strickland. Nothing's getting better. I mean, if you just let him play out the rest of the season, he may steal a game against Ole Miss or Tennessee or Georgia or whatever. But that shouldn't save his job. He came into this year with the expectation, number 15 in the country, DJ Lagway taking over full-time, it's going to be better. And they're sitting there at 2-4. So, like, just because he beats Mississippi State does not mean he should survive another week. If you're going to fire him, just rip the damn Band-Aid off. And the other part of this is I think that, you know, one of the cases that I've heard out there is, you know, you don't want to fire him right now. You want to see if DJ Lagway, if you can keep him on campus for another coach, see if he can develop. Well, I don't think you should concern yourself all that much with just trying to keep guys on campus. If they're going to leave, they're going to leave. If you fire a coach, they're likely going to leave because they came to play for said coach. And here's the thing about Florida. Guys, you have money. You can go get a transfer quarterback. And we've seen around the country that you can go get a transfer quarterback out there on the open market and become a competitive team with that transfer quarterback. So I wouldn't worry too much about DJ Lagway, especially with the way he's been playing. He's been making some mistakes. He has not been healthy enough. So I'm tired of the week after week after week for the past, what, year and a half, Connor, where, oh, if Billy Napier wins, he survives another week. If he loses, he's done. Just if you're going to fire him, whether he wins against Mississippi State or loses against Mississippi State, just get rid of him. It's over. It's been over for some time.
But, Gabe, I don't understand. He got a vote of confidence from the AD after week one. How could this be possible?
Well, it was after week two.
Week two.
Yeah.
How could this be possible that he's going to turn around and fire him after saying that he was committed to Billy Napier and his vision?
I also think that Scott
for Florida.
Here's the other part of it that we do need to take into consideration. Scott Strickland is kind of digging his feet in the ground on this one because this was his handpicked guy. This is who he brought in, and he realizes his job could be on the line if he ends up firing Billy Napier and doesn't have a very good plan in place for after Billy Napier. So maybe that's part of the reason he's sort of hanging on for dear life to see if Billy can get something going. But he's not. I'm telling you right now, he's not going to get anything going. The SEC is too competitive, and your team's not good enough, and he's not a good enough coach.
They should have done it two seasons ago.
It's two years ago. It's too much. It's too much. And the real tough thing about it is I think they have the talent to actually be – a top-end team in the SEC. But Billy Napier, I think, for the most part, is holding them back. Their defense is very, very good. Very good. But the offense cannot supplement that. And that's been the problem the entire time for Billy Napier.
Have you seen some of the names that have been floated for possible Florida replacement? And
well,
I'm going to bring them up because
the
I think
one,
that they're absolutely
the
insane.
I know the first one that always comes up is Lane Kiffin.
Uh-huh.
So there's that. But beyond that, what is James Franklin popped up yet?
No.
Has he been in there?
No, it's another Marcus Freeman. Why? Well, why would he leave Notre Dame? I don't understand.
Didn't I tell you about that list that I saw?
Yes.
Dan Lanning. It was the top three were Dan Lanning, Marcus Freeman, and Lane Kiffin. I was like, no, 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 not happening.
I don't understand why people think Marcus Freeman's going to leave Notre Dame.
I don't understand it either. They seem very happy with him, even though he lost the first two games this year. And he's probably going to win down the stretch.
They'll probably be a college football playoff team.
Be in the college football playoff. And it's really easy for him to get to the college football playoff there. And he makes a lot of money. And they have their own TV contract. Like, I don't see why he keeps coming up. Just because he's a good coach, yes. But he's at one of the premier jobs historically in college football. Why would he leave?
And he's winning there.
Yes.
For the most part. I know they struggled to open the season.
Well, and last year he did what Brian Kelly could not do.
Correct.
Compete in the national championship at the highest level and actually make it somewhat of a game. So, I don't know.
Do you think James Franklin would be a good fit for Florida?
I don't think he'd be a bad fit. I mean, he's in the end of the day with James Franklin, he's always going to have the big game woes. And you play a lot of big games at Florida and in the SEC. So, I don't think he's a bad fit for anybody. It's just like, what are your expectations? What do you want your next coach to be? Do you want him to stabilize the program and win 10, 11 games a year? Sure, James Franklin's good for that. But do you want him to win a natty? Probably not great for that. So you have to decide as a program what you're really striving for at this current moment. And that doesn't mean James Franklin can never get a team over the hump, but he just hasn't to date. But I think he'd be a fine fit for just about any of these gigs opened up. He's been around the country. And he's shown that he's a proven winner, and he's shown that he can recruit if you give him some resources. So I think he should be on a short list for just about every one of these jobs that have opened up.
All right, next up, Chiefs beat the Lions 30-17 on Sunday night. They get Rashee Rice back off suspension this week. The Chiefs are back to being the team to beat in the AFC. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Oh, okay. My power rankings will show this. I'm going to say not an overreaction. And this is not... This is not because I think the Chiefs have taken some tremendous step and they're unbelievably good now. And Rashee Rice is going to fix all of their problems and they're going to be undefeated the rest of the year and they're going to win all their one-score games. That's not why I'm saying this. The reason I say this, if you looked around the AFC lately, I don't trust anybody. I don't trust a soul. This is what the top seven is right now. In the AFC, the Colts, who have played really well, really good offensively, decent defensively. Daniel Jones has revitalized his career, but do you trust them? Hell no. I'm not going to trust the Colts till they show me in a playoff setting. Steelers. Steelers are fine, but my God, are they old. Are they going to stay healthy the rest of the year? I mean, think about all – I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay and all these guys. Like, it's just hard for me to imagine that they're going to stay healthy the entire year. Also – I think offensively, they're becoming more predictable by the week, even with Aaron Rodgers. They need another wide receiver. They have talked about going to get a wide receiver. But I don't trust the Steelers. I don't trust the Steelers. Then the Chargers. They're hurt beyond recognition. Their entire offensive line is just cooked right now. Rashawn Slater gets hurt before the year. Joe Alt's been out. Trey Pipkins, who came in to back up for Joe Alt when Joe Alt moved to left tackle for Rashawn Slater, he's out. So they're going to have some struggles. We know that Jim Harbaugh wants to create that rugged style running the ball, and Omarion Hampton's on IR as well. So it's hard for me to imagine stylistically with all the injuries they have that they're going to be able to hold up. The Patriots are fun, and they're good, and Drake May looks great, and I think they're a top 10 scoring defense. But at the same time, rookie quarterback, first year here on the scene, Vrabes does a good job, but Vrabes, even when he was with the Titans, yeah, he got a number one seed, but he's never able to get over the top in the playoffs, so don't trust them. Bills, definitely don't trust them. Combined record of their four wins is 3-21. Just can't do it. Whenever they've played a team with a pulse, they've lost. The Jaguars, I don't really have to explain that, first-year coach. And then the Broncos have just underperformed, just have not looked good, even though they're sitting there at 4-2. Still a really good defense, but offensively they've had their issues. I just look around and then think about the other teams that aren't around. Bengals, no Joe Burrow. He's done. That team's done. Ravens are 1-5. 4 of 358 teams that have started 1-5 or worse, 1% have made the NFL playoffs in NFL history. Don't really buy into them. I just look around the rest of the AFC. That's why I'm lifting up the Chiefs. More than what I see from the Chiefs right now, but I do think Rashee Rice is going to help lift up that offense. Xavier Worthy has been a positive. We do have to worry about their offensive line a little bit. Josh Simmons, their rookie, he's stepped away from the team for personal reasons, and that's something they're going to have to deal with. Not sure what that is or how that's going to get itself figured out, but the offensive line could be a concern for you going forward. I want to see their rushing game get going a little bit more, but Patrick Mahomes has recreated a little bit of his magic the last couple of games. Rashee Rice will help that, and the rest of the AFC is just in no man's land. It's just a crapshoot completely, and I think the Chiefs are the one lone team that you look at with championship DNA that will figure it out as the season goes along, win some close games, and sort of be at the top of the AFC by the time we get to the playoffs.
Do you think they could win out the rest of the season?
Okay, let's go through their schedule, just for funsies. Raiders, I think that's a dub. I think at home against the Commanders, I would call that a dub. On the road against the Bills is tricky. Even though I'm not a big buyer in the Bills, I think the Bills could probably win that game. I don't think they'll win out the rest of the regular season, but, you know, two or three losses the rest of the regular season is about all I see on their schedule. Down the stretch, this is what they have. Texans, Chargers, who are hurt, at Titans, home against the Broncos, at Raiders. Those last five games or six games of the year, if you add that Cowboys matchup in Dallas, feels like the last six games of the year could all be wins for them.
Are the Patriots any sort of real threat yet?
Yes. I think that the ability they showed offensively against the Bills was nice to see. They're just young.
You're right, right.
And Drake May, he looks great, but again, he's young, never been in that playoff scenario, you know, in those types of matchups, those type of environments before. I think that they're a tricky team to deal with, but I don't think anybody should be scared or have pause about them making a run in the AFC playoff picture.
Do you think they're like a year away from being truly contenders?
I think a year or two away is probably the fair expectation to put on that team. I think they're ahead of schedule right now, personally.
Okay. All right. Next up, Titans head coach Brian Callahan was fired this week. The Titans sit at 1-5 and have the 31st ranked scoring offense in the NFL with rookie quarterback Cam Ward. The firing of Callahan ended a 23-game tenure in which the Titans were 4-19. This was a franchise who was the number one seed in the AFC in 2021 under Mike Vrabel. Since then, they've had three different GMs and are moving on to their third different head coach. The Titans are the most poorly run franchise in the NFL. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Listen, right now.
Can I guess?
Right now. Yeah, go ahead and guess. Yeah. Right now, I think they're the most poorly run franchise in the NFL. And listen, like, I don't think the Bengals are run well. I think the Cowboys are run poorly. I think the Bears have been run poorly. But at least with the Bears, like, I think the Titans are doing what the Bears did before this Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, Caleb Williams thing that they have going right now. It feels like they're moving in the right direction. They finally made the right hire, the correct hire, the obvious hire with Ben Johnson. So they're headed into the future, and it looks bright. But for the Titans, you have this rookie quarterback in Cam Ward. You're already firing a coach. You before he even got there, fired a GM and hired another GM. You're just in this spot where you have so much turnover and you have no actual direction. And you don't really pick a direction and stick with it for long enough to see if it's actually going to pan out. That's what the Bears did for a while, but I feel better about where they're at right now. But Amy Adams Strunk, the owner of the team, did you see this? With the firing of Brian Callahan and Mike McCoy being named the interim, she didn't even show up to the facility to explain how the decision was made and what part she played in the whole thing. She didn't even show up. And Paul Kuharsky, one of the Titans' longtime reporters, he asked Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker, team president, about it, and they basically said, I'm here on her behalf. But you just have to realize at this point with the Titans, it's ownership. Just pulling strings way too often, way too quickly. I don't disagree. I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying. I don't disagree with Brian Callahan being fired. I think I disagree more with him being hired in the first place.
Right.
That was a bad decision. But at this point, no matter who you hire, just like give it some time. First of all, make the correct hire, somebody you actually believe in. and stick with it for some time. And the fact that they moved off of Mike Vrabel when they did, it's just insane to me. To go from Mike Vrabel to Brian Callahan, first-time head coach who had never called plays as an OC and got credit for Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase, give me a damn break. That's the hire you made? So, sorry to Titans fans. I think you have the most poorly run franchise in the NFL, but what I do notice from Titans fans is they kind of acknowledge this, and they're trying to put pressure on the higher-ups there with the Titans. Amy Adams Strunk, the owner in particular, she just clearly does not have enough patience to stick it out. And this is more of a recent thing. When they had Vrabel and John Robinson, they had that going for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it looked fine. Then John Robinson makes the A.J. Brown trade. That completely devolved from there. But since then, since that trade was made, this is clearly, to me, the most poorly run franchise in the National Football League. And this next hire, Connor, go get somebody to pair with Cam Ward. Do what the Bears did with Ben Johnson to Caleb Williams. Do that. Find a hot OC name or an offensive coach. Bring him in to develop your young quarterback, who I think is very good. The stats don't show that. But he's just got nothing that he's surrounding him, and he's got bad leadership in his rookie season. I think that Cam Ward can be great. You just have to invest in the right coach to make him great. And make his situation better.
Could that be Joe Brady?
It could be Joe Brady. But I wouldn't just, like, put myself directly, like, that's end-all, be-all. I think there's some other names offensively that you could go look at. Don't have them off the top of my head, but let's just see how this season plays out, see who the new offensive names are out there, and see if you can get one of those names.
Speaking of Joe Brady, with James Franklin fired early this week, Penn State will be the best job on the coaching carousel this offseason. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. I think Penn State is the best job. Granted, I will admit that the expectations are pretty tough. Because, I don't know if you have this debate in your head, Connor, about, like, the best jobs in college football. Best jobs in college football, to me, we think of Alabama and Georgia and places like that. But, like, to me, I look at places like Kentucky, Indiana, where there's just Mizzou, maybe, to a certain extent, where there's not a bunch of pressure and you still get a fair amount of money. Mm-hmm. You could be a top 10 paid head coach there. They're pouring a little bit into NIL, not the most, but you can still get some good players. You can still hit the transfer portal. I look at jobs like that as the best, so I just have a different outlook on what the best job is. But when we're talking about historical significance, ability to go get into a national title, ability to compete for a massive conference in the Big Ten, NIL money is going to be there. You could be a top 10 paid head coach. I think that Penn State absolutely will be the best job open. Now, there could be some interesting jobs, though, that may be able to compete for it. Florida, I think, is a good job. You just have to have the right guy take over because they have a very hungry fan base that's willing to give you money. I think Florida State, I don't know if Mike's going to get fired this year, but he has. I mean, he's sitting there at 3-3 outside of the top 25 after beating Alabama to start the year. Florida State would be another job that you'd look at as really good. But Penn State, because of the conference they're in, because of the money they bring in, to sort of get that roster right, and the money that they use to pay very well, I think it's without question the best job. Now, who ultimately is going to want to take that job? I don't know. I have no idea.
So
I think it's Matt Rhule in the end of the day. That's my assumption, but maybe Kurt Cignetti could be drawn there. He's from Pennsylvania. Maybe we're looking at that. I know that they've tried to talk about reaching out to Marcus Freeman. I still don't really buy that at all. But we'll see where this ends up. I do think this is a good job, though.
So this was reported by Yahoo Sports today at 10:40 a.m. Joe Brady is projected to leave the Bills to become Penn State's next head coach.
He's projected by who?
The Sporting News and a couple of just sports books.
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Seems like a weird fit.
I mean,
I think they need to find somebody with, like, legitimate.
I think Joe Brady's going to get some looks for NFL jobs,
right,
too. So,
right.
Like, I wouldn't just sit here and assume.
I think that it would be difficult for someone who has been in the NFL for a few years to jump into the NIL age of college football,
especially
at Penn State.
Being an NFL coach is easier. Being an NFL coach is way easier. Dealing with professionals and you're dealing
with contracts.
Like free agents and contracts where they're actually locked in. Like, I don't know.
They can't leave every year.
The other thing about Penn State and where they're at in the Big Ten is compared to like a Florida or a Arkansas or something like that, the SEC is just so, like, we're seeing it pretty consistently. The parity is just overwhelming in the NIL and house settlement era. In the Big Ten, I still think there's not that much parity, right? Like, you have your teams there at the top pretty consistently, the Michigans, the Oregons, the Ohio States, the Penn States. You're sort of in that group of teams if you get that Penn State job versus if you went to an SEC school, you could blend into the mix pretty easily,
yeah,
depending on where you're at.
Matt Rhule is right behind him. So right now, Joe Brady is plus 150. Matt Rhule was plus 200. Fran Brown, plus 500. And then Kurt Cignetti at plus 700.
I don't know. I just can't buy the Joe Brady thing.
It doesn't make much sense to me.
But I will say, you know, sometimes we see with hires that you want a stylistic change. And at Penn State for the longest time, whether it was under Joe Paterno, Bill O'Brien a little bit like this, and same with James Franklin, it's a defensive style, run the ball. Not super explosive offensively, but just do the things to win games. Play conservatively when you're up, those types of things. I could see them pivoting completely and going to Joe Brady just for the offensive style, more throwing concepts, putting up more points. But the style they've played has been pretty successful. So we'll see. We'll see. Matt Rhule, though, I'll talk about this with Colton in a second. He really is James Franklin light, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And oddly enough, some people pointed this out too. Marcus Freeman has got some James Franklin in him when it comes to winning big games. Like, you could argue one of the biggest games he's ever won was against James Franklin.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's, I don't know. I understand the Matt Rhule relationship with Penn State. I just feel like it wouldn't
be. It's at best a lateral.
Yeah.
Move.
If you're firing James Franklin, don't go and get James Franklin.
James Franklin light. Because his
record, resume is.
Now, here's like, the thing. He's at Baylor and he's at Temple and Nebraska in the Big Ten. So, like, do with these stats what you will. But he has a worse record against the AP Top 25. He has a worse record against the AP Top 10. Worse record against Michigan and Ohio State. He's been to less bowl games. He's 2-23 versus the AP Top 25, 0-11 versus AP Top 10. Now, that has to do with, like, where he's been. He hasn't been at a place like Penn State with the resources that they have. So, you know, again, if he gets the job, you'll be able to get a better picture of what
I think Cignetti should be the move.
That's the first call, but again,
why would he leave right now?
Penn State is almost by definition historically a better job than Indiana.
Sure, absolutely.
But when you look at, like, the day and age we're in and what Kurt Cignetti's been able to do in a two-year period at Indiana, usually you leave a school, like, let's use Brian Kelly, for example. I know it hasn't worked out this way, but why did he leave Notre Dame to go to LSU? I want a better caliber of player. I want to recruit better. I want more resources. That's why he left Notre Dame. You want to be in a position where you feel like you can win national championships. If I'm Kurt Cignetti, I'm looking at my first 2 years and I'm saying, I can win national championships here. So that shouldn't even be a selling point to go to Penn State. You can't sell that to me. Because what I want to accomplish in winning a natty, I am showing I can do it here. He's likely going to end the season this year 12-0 with the rest of the remaining schedule. Handled business against Oregon. He's going to be in the college football playoff in his first 2 years. And honestly, the resources are starting to pour in from all of the boosters there at Indiana because of what they've seen, because they see that it's possible now. So I know historic significance tells you Penn State's a better gig, and I would agree with that. But right now, Kurt Cignetti's showing what he's capable of at Indiana, and he's showing that Indiana can be in the mix to win a national title every single year. So I just don't know what the big selling point for Kurt Cignetti would be to leave Indiana at this moment. Would it be more money? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think Indiana could probably match. Indiana can get you up there in the top 10 as far as, you know.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I think it was per year valuation. They could get you to $10 million per year if you want it.
I think Jeff said it yesterday. If you're firing James Franklin with the amount of money that it takes to fire him, you probably have a chest built up for the coach that you're going to bring in.
Yeah, I would hope.
Yeah. I also think that Will Stein's an interesting name.
Yeah, you know I like Will Stein.
I know you do. 100%. Will Dante come with it? I'm just kidding.
Dante transferred in with him. That would, hey.
Hey.
National title favorite.
Hey, no, but he, hey, number one pick, though.
Yes, yes. Although last week took a little bit. My agenda.
Did you see who's on ESPN's number one right now?
Ty Simpson?
No.
Who is it?
Mendoza.
Listen. Okay, I'm just going to give you my quick take on that. Love Fernando Mendoza. I think he is a very smart player. I think he's got a good arm. I think he's accurate. I just look at him, and I don't know what he does, like, phenomenally. Now, I know there's a lot of, like, the case that any NFL draft analyst would make is, well, some of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen didn't do anything phenomenally. They were just very good from the neck up. And that may be well the case with Fernando Mendoza, but I don't know. I would be more careful about taking him one overall. I want more I know that we get annoyed with the constant arm talent, physical traits conversation, but I do think when you're drafting that high in an NFL draft, you have to have, yes, you feel good about him from the neck up, but you also have to have some physical traits to go with it. Because look at the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes, athletic, crazy arm. Lamar Jackson, unbelievably athletic, crazy arm, and very accurate. Josh Allen, same thing. Like, I just think if you're going to draft someone that high in the NFL draft, you have to have those physical attributes to go with the ability they have to read a field.
I also absolutely love that they have the Browns taking Dante Moore. Another quarterback.
That hurts my soul, brother. That hurts.
Don't
my
do
soul.
It to Dante.
Don't do that to my guy, Dante. I don't want to see that for him. All right, let's grab a break on that note. When we come back, we'll talk with Colton Denning. Make sure you stick around. Colton Denning is the owner of Two Stripes CPD. Make sure you go subscribe. Also, go subscribe to his YouTube channel, youtube.com/Colton Denning. He has hits of the week every single week. And also his hot seat rankings come out every single week on Two Stripes CPD. And we're going to have to talk about a hot seat that's been, you know, completely cleared off because of a firing. And that would be James Franklin getting fired. You can follow him on X at Dubsco. Colt, what's happening, man?
Gabe, I'm so upset, man. There is nothing to talk about in college football right now. It's the most boring season I can remember. There's nothing happening in the coaching world. I'm screaming, I'm crying for news right now.
Yeah, in all reality, though, this coaching carousel this offseason has the potential to be one of the craziest in history. Florida could potentially come open still. Well, I'm looking pretty close at my former coach and Mike Norvell at Florida State, having lost three. And he's outside of the top 25. And there's a lot of coaches from around the country that could vacate their spot to end up in one of those bigger jobs. I'm looking at Matt Rhule at Nebraska going to Penn State potentially, Nebraska then being open. What do you think is going to come of this coaching carousel? Like, how crazy do you think it's going to be this offseason?
I think a lot of ADs, especially ADs and the AD at Nebraska and the people in the that are the decision makers at Nebraska and schools like that, are going to have to start, if they haven't already, putting together backup plans that they didn't think they were going to need a week ago, because the butterfly effect of the James Franklin firing, it's not going to be on the level that Nick Saban's retirement was the other year, but I do think it's going to end up, especially if a Matt Rhule vacates his position and goes to the Penn State job, I think it's going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, where was, just curiously, last week in your hot seat rankings, what did you say about James Franklin before the loss to Northwestern and ultimate firing?
I didn't say anything about James Franklin because, honestly, right. Gabe, like, I mean, I think that I don't think what Penn State did was a rash decision. I don't think it was something that, you know, they lost and they just said, you know what, we're done with this guy. I don't think myself or anybody there really believed that they could lose to Northwestern. They're the first team, whatever, to lose back-to-back games as 20-point-plus favorites. So that was something that I didn't even really consider. I think as we would have gotten down to the later portions of the season, if they lose to Ohio State again, I think they play Indiana too, like maybe then I would have considered it, but I didn't think we'd just see an outright firing of James Franklin in mid-October. It's one of the most unprecedented things I've ever seen coaching-wise.
All right, now Joe Brady has come up, but I do want to get to Matt Rhule. If Matt Rhule is ultimately the hire at Penn State, and there's a lot of reasons that would be the case. He's been pretty successful with his rebuilds at Temple and Baylor, and he's done a pretty good job at Nebraska. They hadn't made a bowl game for the years before he got there, and he made a bowl game, and now he's sitting there at 5-1 in the top 25 of the AP poll. But if it is Matt Rhule, doesn't it kind of feel like he's James Franklin light from a style perspective and from a big game perspective? These are his stats in big games: 2-23 against the AP top 25, 0-11 against the AP top 10, 0-3 against Michigan and Ohio State. He's only made 5 bowl games, has no college football playoff experience or appearances. So, like, what would you think of that hire if it's made?
It does just kind of seem like you're going down the same path, except this time it's somebody who went to the school, grew up there, said at his presser the other day at Nebraska that he loves Penn State. But if you're Penn State's administration and you're the decision makers there, you've already had your AD go up and publicly say, hey, this is why we fired him. The biggest reason is because he couldn't win big games. So if you hire Matt Rhule, like, you could do much worse than that, but the first question should be, okay, here are Matt Rhule's, you know, stats in those games as well. He might be even worse. Why is he the hire? So you kind of put yourself into a box in that standpoint. So for Penn State, that has to really be the first thing they look at, and that's why it's not confusing that Matt Rhule is kind of the de facto number one name everybody's bringing up because of his ties to Penn State. But if the whole thing is they can't get over the hump, Matt Rhule hasn't really shown that he can do that either. Maybe that changes in the next month and a half, but as of now, you're looking at either the same or a light version of James Franklin in terms of his resume.
So let me give you a hypothetical, and I'm not trying to lead you. Let's say you start Two Stripes CPD University, and you're in the FBS, you're in a power conference, and you are faced with the decision of hiring either Matt Rhule or James Franklin, who do you hire?
I think I'm hiring James Franklin.
Yeah, right.
The pedigree is there. The ability to produce NFL talent and attract talent is there and develop it. I think that James Franklin, wherever he goes next, because he will get a job and it will be a very good job, I don't think you can look at him in the same light as wherever he goes, how he was looked at Penn State, because that's going to be the thing. It's going to be, oh, well, he didn't win big games there. Is he going to be able to win big games at whatever, Florida, Arkansas, Virginia Tech, wherever he goes? This is still a dude who built up Vanderbilt, and he did do some pretty good things at Penn State. The failures are what they are, but the successes are what they are as well, right. Even if they're on the smaller side than the failures.
In the end of the day, you know, everybody wants to talk about the 21 losses against the AP Top 10. What about the four wins? What about the four wins for James Franklin? Why don't we talk about those? But James Franklin, do you think he'll get hired this offseason?
If he doesn't, then I think he's just going to chill for a year and maybe see how the cycle plays out, because this is just such a disastrous, chaotic cycle that maybe for him you just say, because I think it came out that it's in his contract and there was a clause that he has to go look for work. So maybe you kind of half-ass trying to find another job. You do the thing where you're on unemployment and you're just like, yeah, I sent 5 resumes this week. So maybe him and his agent put out some feelers somewhere. But yeah, if I'm one of these places like Virginia Tech, for sure, I'm starting to look at it. If you're Maryland right now, I know that relationship was kind of damaged. You know, I think Michael Oxley's done a pretty solid job this season, but if Maryland just slides, who's to say that a place like Maryland doesn't look and say, hey, we have this guy who was always kind of our number one dream, and we thought that was over when he went to Penn State. Can we go scoop him up? So I think there's a couple twists and turns in the James Franklin saga that we're yet to see that are going to play out in the next month and a half.
All right, Colt. Now, the SEC is just bound to get messy down the stretch, just because you have a lot of really good teams with one loss that are fighting for their lives. Look at Tennessee, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, teams of that nature. At the top, you have Ole Miss and A&M, who are still undefeated. But let me ask you just a very simple question. Who do you think the best team in the SEC is?
At this point, man, I think I'd have to go with Alabama.
Right.
They've taken care of business. I thought their win against Missouri was impressive. I think the final score in that game was a little closer than what it actually was. I thought Alabama didn't severely outplay them, but they for sure deserved to win that game, and then it got a little close at the end. But just based off of what I've seen from them, they seem like kind of the most complete version. Maybe you could have said Ole Miss before last week and then whatever that was against Washington State. I think Georgia, like at this point, we're all just kind of waiting for Georgia to click on all cylinders. But that's the same thing we said about them last year. This just kind of is what they are right now in Georgia. They don't have a dynamic offense. The defense is still one of the best in the country, but you know, if you score 23, 27 points on them, I mean, Auburn was really, really close to putting that game out of reach. And whether you want to say that's the official fault
sure.
or not, it was there. And so I think as of right now, I'd put my money on Alabama. And you know what? I'll even mention Texas A&M, too, because A&M, they've taken care of business as well.
Ole Miss is an interesting thing to me because they beat Georgia last year on their home field. They're going to be playing Georgia this weekend. Maybe you have an opinion on that game. But I look at the rest of their schedule. They're sitting there at 6-0, number 5 in the country. If they are able to pass this test and beat Georgia on Saturday, the rest of their schedule is really favorable. And they could be looking at an undefeated season if they beat Georgia. Because then you have Oklahoma at Oklahoma. I know that's a really good defense, but I saw them against Texas. John Mateer is not himself. I thought they would have had a better chance to win that game had Michael Hawkins played, but that's a different story for a different day. But then after that, you have South Carolina, the Citadel, Florida, and Mississippi State. And Florida may not have a coach by then, likely won't have a coach by then. Ole Miss intrigues me in that sense. If they get through this Georgia game, they could be on their way to an undefeated season.
And that's really their test, isn't it? I think that would be what the football gods would put out for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss is, hey, you win this game against Georgia, Lane Kiffin gets that really huge win to kind of say, hey, you know what, not only are we a playoff team, we're a national championship contender, but then the real test for Ole Miss is, and Lane Kiffin, what can you do with that the rest of the way against a schedule that, that looks like you should take care of business? We saw last year what cost them being in the playoff was losing at home to a very bad Kentucky team. I don't think there's any terrible teams left on their schedule outside of having to play Citadel on November 8th, but there's still potential for them to drop games. We've seen them lose focus. We saw them do it last week against Washington State. So that, to me, as much as anything, is the big test for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. As important as this Georgia game is hey, if you can at least play that one close and not get blown out, then you put yourself in a good position over this last month of the schedule. But we've seen before that they do slip and stumble. So that, to me, is just as big as the Georgia game.
All right, I have a list really quick. You can add or subtract to it. But teams I trust, that's what this list is. Ohio State is one. I'm sure you're happy with that. Then I'll go Miami. I'll go Miami, even though they were off last week. And this week against Louisville could be tricky, in my opinion. And then I'll put Indiana in that conversation as well. Would you add or subtract to that list of teams you trust in college football?
You know who I trust right now, and I guess I'm going off on a limb, and maybe I'm picking two teams right now, is I trust A&M. This A&M team has at least earned the benefit of the doubt for me of, hey, they're a legitimate playoff-style team. I'm not saying Texas A&M can win the national championship or anything, but I'm not putting the past 20 years of 8-4 Texas A&M on this one. They've won at Notre Dame. They've had some tricky spots against Auburn in Florida that they've taken care of business in. And then the second team, man, it's on a smaller scale and a different conference. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Texas Tech right now, especially their front seven
Good
and their
point.
Defensive line. They are just kicking ass. David Bailey, I think, in this very weak Heisman field, I think that Bailey on Texas Tech's defensive line, he's just been a monster. And Kansas had no idea what to do with him. So I really like what I see from Texas Tech right now. So that's my kind of off-the-radar answer.
And best offense, per the numbers, in college football right now, even though they've had to turn to their backup quarterback in certain games. So you know what? I may have to add them to my list. It's a good point, Colt. But, Colt, I'll let you roll, man. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yes, sir. He is Colton Denning. Make sure you go subscribe to Two Stripes CPD and subscribe to his YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/Colton Denning. Now, we need to go ahead and grab a break, and we'll come back, get to the NFL post-Week 6 power rankings. A lot of switch-ups. Stick around. Back in, Gabe Kuncho, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Week 6 is behind us. Week 7 will get going tomorrow night with an AFC North matchup. Steelers are visiting the Bengals. Joe Flacco against the Steelers after what Mike Tomlin had to say about the Browns trading him to the Bengals. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. But
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Since week six is behind us, we have to get to my post-week six NFL power rankings. Obviously, there's a couple of teams on the outside looking in, and I think that that group is getting larger and larger by the week. The Patriots, the Chargers, I think the Steelers can be involved here. The Bills can be involved. In the NFC, I think the Rams are right there. The Packers are right there. But there's a massive group of teams that could make some moves in the coming weeks. But let's go ahead and get to number five. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. I know they're sitting there at 3-3, but they're getting Rashee Rice back. Their offense has looked a whole lot better. Patrick Mahomes has thrown for over 250 in the last three games. It just seems like they're heading in the right direction. Their run game still needs to be better. Their defense still needs to be better. But that win against the Lions showed me a lot. It showed me a lot. They handled it start to finish and looked like the Chiefs of old. And it wasn't a one-score game. Wasn't particularly close by the end. They were able to run a drive all the way down and knee on the ball. Knee on the ball, finish with the ball in their hands. So I really respect what the Chiefs have. Now, the reason the Chiefs make the power rankings, I think, is less about what I think of the Chiefs and more about what I think of the rest of the AFC. I've mentioned that, the top seven, the playoff picture as it stands right now, Colts don't trust, Steelers don't trust, Chargers don't trust with all the injuries, Patriots still too young, Bills combined.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.